You are now listening to the Project Kuwait.
To the Project Kuwait.
To the Project Kuwait.
Where we stop at nothing to bring you the right facts on health, fitness, and psychology. Featuring some of the world's most experienced professionals. So you can learn, live, and live. With your hosts, Meg, Dr. D, and Mehdi.
I try many of the things. I like to try anything before I even suggest to do something. Then I found what's good for me. Like to me, I like to have between 3 to 5 meals, 3 main, 2 snacks. It works for me. It keeps my hunger stable. Women, especially what they're looking for more than the way they look, is how they feel about their look. Imagine, like, even if I'm overweight, if you're confident, you feel good with yourself, the weight is completely different. You may be overweight because you have a thyroid problem or something's messed up in your metabolism and you have to live with it. But mostly I try to bring them all to the balance. Like, you have to feel good with how you're looking now. Otherwise, if you don't accept who you are right now, you're not going anywhere. If you're not really want to follow your diet and you want to work hard with me, but you don't want to develop the muscle, you just want to lose the fat, it was tricky. So we just did a lot of workflow in a way like we can just really target the muscle that she was willing to feel more tight and look toned. And I tried to clean her diet as much as possible when it comes to make sure that she was not overeating a lot of carbs and trying to keep it more healthy, natural.
All this and more in today's episode.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode. And I get to sit down and talk to a bodybuilder. Yes, we are not just a CrossFit podcast. We do bodybuilding also. And a badass bodybuilder at that, Patricia Bourdeau.
Good.
All right. Good, good. All right. Placed second in the Diamond Cup last year.
Correct.
Right? It was the Diamond Cup. That was out of France. And you follow kind of a weird bodybuilding powerlifting modality, which I think is pretty cool. It's pretty badass.
Yeah, I do mix different techniques also from the Brazilian lifestyle since I started liking more the wellness style. And thanks also to my husband, Jimmy. We mix his more powerlifting and bodybuilding. And this, I realize that bodybuilders sometimes we're just not strong enough. We just look tough. And when I see him lifting so heavy and I started following other power lifters, I admire how tight they look and strong without losing the femininity. So I wanted to incorporate some of those exercises into my daily routines. And I started becoming stronger and my waist also started coming in, which I knew it, but until you don't try it, you don't really like believe that that can happen. So I'm very happy of the mixture of the both things, plus the Brazilian workout style, as I had a coach from there before. A lot of supersets and exhausting the muscle from heavy and then intermediate, and then you go with only floor exercises until your glutes and your legs are done.
Well, that's pretty cool. I mean, so now you followed a Brazilian model of working out. How's that exactly? First time I've heard of that. So
there is, they mix though. I started following, I don't want to say a lot of names, but basically like Bibi and the Fight World Times Championship, Angela Burgess. And the way of working out, it's, they have the mix days. That's kind of like powerlifting. So they have your heavy day, you have your oxidative training day, you have tempos, and another day to just go more lightweight, but more basic and high intensity training. And we designed it recently, just my new workout for going to the pro stage. I'm willing to go to compete on the latest June. I hope I'm ready to go.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's amazing.
And I'm trying to mix just like everything, like my bodybuilding base, his powerlifting, plus the Brazilian style coaching. And then some tips that we got, because by the end, once you become professional, your body is more or less shape. You have to focus more into details and how to just improve the things that are going to take you to the next level. So it's not only about size, it's just the quality of the muscle and how you shape it.
So that's pretty cool. Now, following the powerlifting modality also mixed in with the bodybuilding, which I totally support because I think everyone should be able to lift heavy weight. I think that's very important to build strength. From a female perspective, all right, my wife will probably kill me for saying this, but from a female perspective, when you do a powerlifting bodybuilding split, you're going to get bigger. So how does that feel? And what do you tell your clients when they kind of, they're like, hey, we want to do a bodybuilding split and we want to do our workout based on what you do. Do you explain to them, well, look, you're probably going to put on some size. You're going to get bigger, more defined muscles. Or, I mean, because we know classic, typical women, and my wife will kill me again. They want to get small, slim, petite. You ask them what they want to do, they say tone up and get small.
I'm always completely honest with my clients when it takes the steps. And that's when I talk about like the microwave society mindset that we have right now, like how everybody just wants results in the moment and it just takes time. And they don't realize that you can't just lose 20 pounds in 1 month or in 3 months. It just, and it's not even healthy. It's a mindset. So it's your mind that's going to take you to the body that you're looking for. It's not only focusing on what you want to lose. Losing weight is the consequence of doing the things properly, never your objective. So usually I tell them like, first of all, what's the real reason that you're doing this? Because it's not just for getting stronger or losing the weight. It's always something inside of you that you want to come out and improve. So to me, I go deeply into my clients more into, I'm a life coach as well. So I try to train the mind to get the body into the place. But then I do mix powerlifting exercise with bodybuilding. I will do like single joints and multi joints. And I explain them like, if you train more like bodybuilding style base, when we only do single joints, you will get that muscle hit. Sorry for not being so perfect in that. But if you do multi-joints right at the end, you just get stronger. So if I just do bicep curls, it's good. I will grow my bicep. But if I mix it and I do lat pull-downs, by the end, I need stronger general muscles in order to be able to lift more weight. Like, okay, yeah, I'm a bodybuilder, so I want to do more leg extensions because I want my quads bigger. But if I do squats, then I'll be able to lift more leg, more weight in the leg extensions. So I mix everything. To me, it makes perfect sense. Size, you can't grow if you don't eat enough. So by the end, it's all by the, like relying on the diet. It's very hard to make them control the diet. Nobody wants to be counting macros or grams, but it's a healthy way of eating. You don't have to go to the extreme unless you want to have what I do. I like this body and I like to keep it to the extreme. And I enjoy counting my food and playing with the macros and different seasons and just seeing how much I can hold something. That's bodybuilders are, I think, professional in sports, we just like to test the limits and test ourselves. And what I like the most about this sport is the more you give, the more you get. So it's one of the fairest things that you can do. And it's you against yourself.
Yeah, I think you touch on a really important point that a lot of people forget about. When you're a pro bodybuilder versus someone who does that, does it recreationally, there's a big difference in off-season, on-season, and dieting. And not dieting. I don't call it dieting. I call it playing the sport. Because it is playing the sport. You have to count your macros when you're going. How long does it take you to prep? We had Douglas Leonardo on here, and he was talking about his preparation. So how's the preparation opposed to a male for a female?
It's my first year as a pro. I will hit the stage for the first time. I competed, and my lowest weight was 59 kilos. That's when I became professional in France. Right now, this morning, I'm on 76.
76.
And then I just look much better and tight than when I was 68. That's when I reached Kuwait. And mostly it's because of the powerlifting program that I did. Like this 12-week powerlifting program with an American coach, Roger Baker, the one who led me through that one. It just put on me size, strength. I was feeling strong. Such a lot of different sensations I never felt before. I used to see people just lifting weight and I didn't understand like why you want to lift heavy, because by the end there's so many counterbalances for your body and you have to know which pathologies you have in your body. Like me, I have like hyperlordosis on my back and there's certain things I try to fix with my stretching, and we all have certain pathologies. So when I see a client, the first thing I do is okay, let's do the analysis of the body, hips, knees, none. How can I fix it? I recommend her certain stretches that I do with ITTC. I'm a certified coach when it comes to stretching. So I give them daily work for like 15, 20 minutes of stretching, that special chain on the body that they need to improve, plus the workout. So my programs is always workout-based, mind-based, and then what can I do to stretch at the same time?
And I think that's what really kind of caught our eye when we wanted to ask you on the show, is that you're much more different than your typical bodybuilder coach. You're a wellness coach also. Can you dive into that? Because I always tell people, don't follow a bodybuilder's dieting routine or what a bodybuilder says. Some of them have the shittiest diets I've ever seen. Excuse my language, right? I mean, you know, because you'll have your off season and then they'll just like Burger King, McDonald's, whatever there is under the moon. And then when it comes time to cut, you know, they cut their macros like they're eating a can of tuna a day. And it's like, for the normal average person, you're not going to survive like that. And it's, you know, you commonly see a lot of people take the bodybuilding advice of cut your macros, rather than trying the reverse dieting approach or any of that to speed up their metabolism. So what are your thoughts on that? And how do you approach it as a wellness coach too?
I love that question, though, because as a woman, we all been through like a lot of different dieting styles, and we tried keto, we tried no carbs or low carbs and low carbs, or 8 meals a day, 3 meals a day, 5. I try many of the things. I like to try anything before I even suggest to do something. Then I found what's good for me. Like to me, I like to have between 3 to 5 meals, 3 main, 2 snacks. It works for me. It keeps my hunger stable. If I don't get the snacks, I don't mind. I put the protein in another snack and another big meal. And of course, it has to be, I understood, it has to be a difference between when you're competing and when you are not. That was a very difficult part for me, that I can't look all year long stretch. And even when it comes to the social media pressure, you just can't be always looking perfect. And sometimes even in the gym, they're going to be like, oh, but you work out and you're professional, you should be, now you're big. And then to make understand women, this is the process. Otherwise, I'm not able to hold the other diet. The thing is, first time that I went more deep into competition like this last year, I had to tie my diet down to 700-800 calories for the last month of my competition, with 2 hours of cardio, 1 hour fasting, 1 hour at night. I would get up, do my hour of cardio, 5 minutes of hypopressive ab workout, put my stomach in. I would go to the gym, come do my meals, and at night before sleep, 1 more hour of cardio. I'm not saying it's healthy. The thing is, it matched my life. Before competing, I was traveling to the Arnold, Ohio. I had the Formula One in Spain. I had many events that were stressful, and I had to travel. So I kind of needed a diet that was tight enough for me to sometimes be able to be not as perfect, and high cardio to keep my water low. Because to me, stress bloats me a lot. It's a general thing in women, but especially I retain a lot of water. So when I do the water cut, my body just changed amazingly. Plus, when you have a more athletic body or healthy body, you hold more water. Healthiest body will have more water than fat. The more fat you have, the less water you hold. So you're more dehydrated, which leads to more fat storage. Going back to the question, when it comes to the wellness, sorry.
No, you're fine. Don't worry about it. Like, hey, yeah. this is stuff I didn't even know about. So keep going.
I love the wellness thing, though.
I mean, it must be really difficult, though. I mean, because I want to preface this and say to all the listeners that this is a lifestyle chosen because of your sport. And that's the thing. You do it for a sport and you do it professionally versus the average person who wants to walk into it. And I think this is where the wellness kind of kicks in. When you get your common female here in Kuwait that comes to the gym for the first time. So I always preach, and I preached this to my wife before. I was like, look, you got to lift heavy, strength training. You're not going to get big. Females can't get as big as guys. Like biologically, it just can't happen. And, you know, she finally started listening to me, and she's going to kill me for saying this also. So now she lifts heavier. She's a power lifter. So what do you say to the females when they come in and they say, you know, I just want to tone up. I just want to do this. I want to knock down my calories. You know, what are some of the most common questions that you get from females when they walk into your gym?
How can I be like you? How long will it take me? Am I really capable to get something like this, or it's not real, you know? But by the end, I think it's a superficial question. By the end, I tried to understand, like, why would you like to look like this? And how do you think you will feel once you look like this? You're not feeling in this moment. Because I think women, especially what they're looking for more than the way they look, is how they feel, how they look, how they feel about their look. Imagine, like, even if I'm overweight, if you're confident, you feel good with yourself, the weight is completely different. You may be overweight because you have a thyroid problem or something's messed up in your metabolism and you have to live with it. But mostly I try to bring them all to the balance. Like, you have to feel good with how you're looking now. Otherwise, if you don't accept who you are right now, you're not going anywhere. And then if you want to look like me, this is the steps. I mean, you have to work out for these years. Do you like to work out every day? Do you have passion for what you do? Because if you don't have passion, you're not going to do it. This needs, I don't get up every day and I'm like, oh, I'm going to kill the gym. No, it's sometimes you just do it because you know you're going to feel better. You have a goal. You're determined to something, and this is who you are. But you have to find the strategy and the form that works for you. So I try to help them to that. First of all, breaking down the questions and what's the real emotion or something that's missing in their life that they're trying just to cover with fitness or sport or diet? Or why are you not having more self-esteem or not liking? Because by the end, when it comes to women, it always goes to self-esteem or some kind of emotion not controlled or understood. That's when the life coaching enters in the game. Since 2014-15 that I jumped more into PNL, well, in English would be NPL, yeah. Neuro-Linguistic Programming, and all kind of coaching books. I like a lot of sociology, metaphysics. I read a lot of philosophy by the end, and how I like to know how why we do what we do and why do even we buy things. That's why my major is in marketing by the end. And I really wanted to understand why people do what they do and what leads them to it and how society impacts and our environment and social media. So, of course, according to the five people that's more close to you, it's who you're going to be more closer to be. So I try to choose wisely who I am with. Because, of course, it's, and I talk to a lot of my clients like, oh, I try to do diet, but then I go to my family gatherings and they just tell me like, why are you not eating and why you're doing this or that? But then if they see you, you're overweight, they will also tell you, oh, you need to eat less and or you need to eat more. There's always going to be comments about you. You just need to know who you are and who you want to be. Once you know that, there's nothing that can stop you. Like to me, that's like the unstoppable thing. Just know your rights, know yourself, where you want to go. And then you will always have your own best argument as yourself to reply to anything. It's your life. You only have one. Why would you live according to other one?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a lot. That's deep right there. That's real deep. And I can only imagine for you with the gym that you do work at. I mean, you're head coach at Miss Platinum. So, and yeah, I threw the name of the gym out there. Don't worry about it. And
hi, Platinum.
Usually, I'm sure you probably get your typical client that comes up to you and says, hey, I'm fat. I want to lose weight. That's 95% of the people that walk into a gym. That is what they say to their coach. I want to tone up. I want to lose all the weight. I want to look good. I want to be ripped and shredded. For guys, it's I want to be ripped and shredded with a six pack. For females, I want to get smaller so I can fit into that dress.
And the glutes.
And I guess the glutes now. I mean,
without the legs. This is the most funny thing.
How can you get glutes without legs? That's impossible.
You can't actually. Yeah, I have one of my abs and glute classes.
Yeah.
I had to really think about the exercise, how I do, especially floor work. Just a lot of glute kicks and different variations of movements without including the less possible, the hamstrings and the quads. So no squats, just trying to glute isolation, low weight, a lot of blood into the glutes.
That is so weird.
And they fill it on 15 minutes just glute workout because they don't want legs. They want skinny legs with the glute.
So what type of exercises would do that? I mean, I qualify as sleepy butt syndrome. All right. So I try to get my glutes activated all the time. And like every other guy out there, I try and get my legs bigger, which just doesn't work. Like it's just genetics. I have no idea. And I've tried every exercise underneath the moon. When I was in my bodybuilding phase, I used to do calf raises almost every other day. Nothing.
Yeah, the calves.
And yeah, the calves for most men. That's like our biggest problem area. But what does that entail to just grow your glutes without growing your hamstrings, your quads, or your calves?
Mostly on the floor. So I would go on the floor and do glute kicks, holding. Then we would go rainbows, like side and side. We would go on the floor facing up. We would do glute bridge, single leg glute bridge, both beast hands, face with the knee on the top. Glute, a lot of glute bridge. By the end, we're doing maybe like 500 glute bridge and 300 variations of glute kicks and inner tights, side elevation, three angles. Then we go with circles. I saw like long time ago one Victoria's Secret workout plan on YouTube, and because I was wondering how do these people train in order just not even to tone. They just have a little bit tone, but they don't shape the muscles. And I had a very demanding client. She was like, I do not want at all to get any muscle. I was like, this is tricky because I can't, if you're not really want to follow your diet and you want to work hard with me, but you don't want to develop the muscle, you just want to lose the fat. It was tricky. So we just did a lot of workflow in a way like we can just really target the muscle that she was willing to feel more tight and look toned. And I tried to clean her diet as much as possible when it comes to make sure that she was not overeating a lot of carbs and trying to keep it more healthy, natural way.
I'm fascinated by this new fad of I want to grow my butt but not my legs. When did this kick in? Like, when did this start?
It's been a long time, but especially since I took Kuwait is when I really got demand for that. And I was like, why would you Because to me, if you're only doing exercise that works your glutes, your hamstrings are not. How do you know if someone has a fake or not fake glute? I'm an IVB judge also. So when if I look someone on stage, sometimes we have this joke like, oh, this is fake, it's not fake. It's not legal for competitors to have it. But if you have hamstrings developed, it's more likely that you have bigger glutes. How can you have big glutes without any hamstring, no quads? You can't do, it's not exercise lifting heavy. You need to lay heavy by the end. Or super high sets. So even when we do glute bridge, I put them the bar and they're lifting 30, 40 kilos still. So the hamstrings are going to develop. Yes or yes.
I still find this. Now, how many of your clients, like what's the percentage of your clients that actually come to you and say, I want a bigger butt with smaller legs? Is that like a 90% of your clients in Kuwait or?
I'm going to say 7.
Oh, wow. So how many of them are actually like, hey, I want to lift to get healthy? Because we preach on the show all the time, strength training is the number one way to A, lose body fat, and B, be healthy, because resistance training scientifically has been proven right now to be the best form of exercise you can do for the body in terms of longevity and everything else. And we had the talk earlier before the show about CrossFit and building a base. And, you know, I always tell people go to bodybuilding before you start CrossFit to build that base, especially if you don't come from an athletic background. So how does that make you feel as a coach when someone says that? And it's like, yeah, but the real way is this way. You know, it must be so difficult, and especially with the wellness background too.
Yeah. The thing when the clients approach me, mostly what they want, and the first thing I always get, I want to look good, but I don't want to be as big as, you know, typical comments that I would say strong woman we get. But the thing, I only get them when I'm off season. When I'm on season and they see the six pack and they see you tight and they see how the body changed, they're like, whoa, or they see the picture in competition and they see, you know, this is you. And it's like, we can't go like the magazines 24 hours and 365 days a year. It's not healthy for a woman to be in such a low fat percentage.
Yeah.
And to me, bodybuilding, it's evolution. I can go on stage with the same weight I went last year. So if I'm going to keep competing, I need to improve my body, which means I need to go higher on weight. And I can't choose if I want fat or muscle. Of course, if I'm going up, I'm going to go on both. So I really need to reach higher than what I'm expecting in order to, when I cut, have some lean muscle left. I'm high on weight also this morning. I'm just finishing my woman cycle, like period. And also being outside of, I'm quite new in Kuwait. You know, when you go to another country and you're just facing everything different. For any woman that's just facing new work, new environment, new anything, you're always going to hold more water. Yeah. So a lot of them are always frustrated like, oh, I put 1 kilo in 2 days. It's not real. Nobody can put 1 kilo in 2 days. Even fat gets time to get processed in food and everything. It's always water retention. Carbs hold 3 times their weight on water. It depends. So many things. I always ask them like many things, even when we do the embodied machine assessment, like, please, this is just base. The machine, it's quite accurate, but it's not certain. You have to see yourself in the mirror. You have to feel your clothes. You have to see how you're feeling. Know what you get from the inputs to the outside. I always ask them to take pictures of themselves. Please take a picture in underwear. Let's take proper measurements. This is what's real for me. How much is your waist and your hips? If you're doing your diet or not, if you're bloated. I always ask for hormonal tests and to know how the blood is, if they have any deficiency, how are the thyroids. But even if in the test, the thyroid is T43, they look good. There is what they call like, I don't know how to say in English, but like the ghost thyroid thing. It means like in the test, it will not appear as you have thyroid symptoms.
Yeah,
you really do have them, but it's not proven in the test. And you will feel and experience a lot of the symptoms from being hyperthyroidism.
When you're hyperthyroidism. Yeah.
Excuse me.
No, you're good. You're all good.
Yeah.
And I think you hit on some really important points. My wife's a powerlifter, so she tries to cut before her powerlifting meet. And the water retention, like for females, it's completely different for guys. You know, I could put a sweatsuit on for 4 hours, shed a decent amount of weight. She had garbage bags on, sweatshirts and everything. Oh, she was just about to get her period too. So her water retention level was a lot higher. And she was like, I need to get my period so that I can drop some of this water weight before my weigh-in. And that stressed her out even more because this was like 5 days before. So she was late on her period because she was stressed out. She held more water and then she finally got her period and she was literally running around the block with the garbage bag
She's
on.
She's going to kill you.
Oh, no, 100%. I talk about her. She doesn't listen to the podcast, so I'm fine. She only listens to it when I'm like, yeah, I talked about you today. So she'll be like, all right. But I mean, it must be so difficult in a society that is driven by social media right now, especially in Kuwait, because everyone and everything right now, it seems like they're always on Instagram. We have, I think, like we're number two in the world or number one in the world for like spending the most time on Instagram and Facebook and whatever else and Snapchat. And these women are seeing people getting up on stage, like you said, who do this once or twice a year. And they think they can look like that all year round, which is impossible because it does strain your body. And then you see females at the gyms and males too, who try to do the dieting, try to do all this, and they suffer physically because you're hormonal, like you said, the hormonal imbalance and everything else that comes along with it. So what are some of the biggest, I would say, misconceptions females and males have from the bodybuilding perspective that walk into a platinum gym? Because, you know, this is a different segment than the CrossFit scene or, you know, the functional fitness scene. The bodybuilding scene is, I want to, you know, work on these small muscle groups. I'm going to work buys and tries, or, you know, maybe a full body split if they're smart enough. And, you know, maybe they'll listen to coaches like you. But how do you talk to them when they come in and they're like, oh, I want to look like this on social media, and some of the misconceptions that come from social media?
I try to really encourage them to have a symmetric body. To me, symmetry, not only as a bodybuilding, but as a woman, when I see a woman's body, I want to see symmetry in the body. I think it makes a woman look sexy. Even the ex trying to smaller the waist, keeping just circumference small, toning the shoulders as well, and the chest. They don't like to work certain muscles because they think they're going to look buff or something. And I face issues, but by the end, I earn their trust. They trust me. They know what I'm doing. They can't see. And I always give them many arguments and reasons, in even scientifically, if I need to, in order to prove them that this is not going to happen. And just try it out and give it a chance, keep working out. And then when they keep seeing the results by the end, they're the best word of mouth when it comes. It's so new for most of them, even the gym. Some of them never stepped on a gym before. They don't have any background when it comes to sport and fitness. So mostly the ones that come to me, they come blind. Like, I trust you, just please guide me, or they come destroyed. Like, I have a lot of clients with very serious pathologies that they work out with other coaches. And the ones I'm facing here in Kuwait, they will ask them to do. Like, whenever I see someone that tell me, oh, I have spondylitis and I have this and I have this and C3, and such a medical report. And I'm like, and you want to work out in a gym and your main objective is having a six pack. Yeah. And I'm like, okay. If you keep going like this, probably in 20 years, I'm not even able to walk, but you want a six pack. Okay. Yeah. Then I would tell them, like, because mostly they reach me from the phone and, okay, let's just have a meeting in my office. We talk. And then if you understand the concept, then I may be able to work out with you. But if you only want to see the six pack, I'm not a coach for you. Then I tell her, I send it back to my doctor in Spain with ITDC. I send him the spine RX. He makes me the analysis. He tells me, he assessed me, like, what I should avoid the most and what are the best stretches from the course that I should apply to this client. And then I apply it into the gym floor, like how I teach her how she should work out, and I explain her why she should never have done this and technically why not and why this is the best way for her of training. And I'm just happy that I reach them on time somehow, because how can they make them do like free weight squats if your spine is twisted 30 degree angle? It's just, and even as you, okay, no, but this is what the coach, but when it comes to what happens with your inner curiosity of understanding what you have and what you can do or not, it's not only about blaming, yes, doctors they may be a specialist in this area, but they can't know everything. I like to have a more 360 professional approach. Let's say if I can't know about hormones, but I have the professional doctor for asking for hormones, I have the pathologies, I have certain people that I really researched and did a deep research in order to find them and have my A team. So I can approach anything. Even I get a lot of clients with eating disorders or munch eating or compulsive eating disorder. And The only thing they try to do is putting themselves in more strict diets and more strict diets. And it's completely the other way around. And even in more into like spirituality, energy, they say how much weight you think you have excess on. And the number that you say, let's say I say I have 7 kilos extra. Then the question would be, what happened 7 years ago?
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of, yeah. It's, yeah. It can be part of the coaching process. And I like to mix a lot of techniques. And even right now, I'm getting certified with Fundares, a coaching school. I like because they do business coaching, but with a transgenerational technique.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
To me, that's where everything should go. And first of all, like being clear of everything in you. And then from there, you can build something. Otherwise, you don't know if you're doing something for you or because what they're expecting or because what your parents are expecting. And then you reach a certain age, you're not happy to just go into food and carbs and refined carbs. And we know that refined carbs by the end are the ones which just mess our hormones and they just lead to a lot of bad diseases starting from cancer. To me, it starts with an emotion.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we have psyched with Dr. D. And we always say on the show, and we've talked about it in length before, that usually people with eating disorders or people that have obsessive eating or have weight issues, it typically starts in your head. And it's typically something that's going on in your mind that is forcing you to binge eat or forcing you to overeat. And it's, you know, typically like when you're stressed or depressed. I mean, personally, when I was depressed, you know, if I got into an argument or a fight or whatever, I could mow 2 Big Macs, 2 McChickens and, you know, McFlurry and whatever it was back in the day. Now I've learned how to control that, whereas a lot of people don't. And here it's so easy to, especially in Kuwait right now, where it's easy to go to a doctor and, you know, get the gastric bypass or get the sleeve or get whatever surgery there is. Or even I've heard as much as in the female gyms now, the steroids are starting to pick up in the female gym scene, not only the male gym scene, because a lot of women are turning to that to lose and shed body weight. Is that true, or is these just rumors that circulate? You know how the community is here. And I've heard it time and time again from females that, like, no, you know, they say take Winstrol or take this or take that.
Winstrol for women.
I know. Like, and that's the thing where people, you know, especially here, they try and look for the quickest fix.
The instant microwave society mindset. Yeah. Yeah. I heard about it. It's not the first time I get asked for this. I've been in the gym for 7 months. So for the experience that I have in the gym, I haven't faced that yet. They did ask me for like, what kind of supplements can I do? What kind of diet? What's a rapid, fast way of solving it? But nobody has really approached me to ask me about this kind of things. I did hear from speaking women with clients like, oh, people, you will be surprised. A lot of women are taking GH and other kind of steroids in the gym and they don't even know what's that for. And I'm like, why would you? Do you really think that taking GH is going to make you smaller or it's going to change your body? It's just like, even if you want to take any kind of steroid, it's not like the magic formula. It has the time and it needs to be controlled and it needs to have a doctor and there are prescriptions by the end. It's not a toy. And if it really did the effect that they think so, at least it will be worth all the harm they're doing to their body, but it's not. So even before doing something that's really going to harm your body, why don't you really research, not just do what they think of? I think playing with like heart drugs in any kind is just harmful. To me, I don't believe in good and bad. I believe that everything has, it depends on the intention that you have with it. Like I wouldn't say like, oh, drinking is bad. Okay, maybe if you're in a wedding, but in my culture, it's normal. So if I have a wedding and they offer me a champagne to like tears or with a glass of wine, I wouldn't see it as, oh, I'm drinking and it's bad. No, I see it as an enjoyable moment with my family. We're sharing something. I probably look for a very specific kind of wine that I want to taste and I give it meaning. If I go to the club, see, I'm not going to say I'm never drink, but I'm not the kind that just goes to the club, oh, I'm going to get so drunk tonight. I never understood that meaning. I like to drink things that I like to taste. But also, like, I'm in sports since ever, and I always drive. When I go, I'm the one that drives, so I never really drink, so I'm not facing that issue. But I can understand, if you like to drink, I know people that like certain whiskey, certain wines, they enjoy it. It's a different conception when you're just drinking to have another effect or to run away from something. This is the same thing like, okay, I'm going to take a steroid. Why? Are you looking for a specific thing that's going to help you do something? You're just taking it. See what I mean?
It's not 100%. Yep. Nice.
And I'm like that with everything. I like, if you are able to give me a good argument of something, I will forgive you and understand you. But if you just do it being not conscious of what you're doing, then you're lost. Doesn't matter if it's good or bad. And I'm eating a lot of salads and vegetables because they say you need to approach this amount of minerals and vitamins. It's not true. You can eat like 10 oranges and you might not even reach the vitamin C thing. So because the absorption and na-na-na. So just really like, if I need arguments of why you do whatever you do.
No, it makes sense. I mean, the intent behind something is the most important perspective. And I mean, you touch on this a little bit and I want to go back to it. What are some of the most common mistakes you've seen on the gym floor that females are making when they're working out, whether it's from warm-ups to paying a gym membership and just going in there and doing cardio for an hour, which I think is an absolute waste of money and time, because we always hit a threshold or we hit a peak with our cardio where we're not going to shred any more weight. And
you just kill me there. Cardio does not burn fat. Cardio does not burn fat.
Let's hear it one more time because I agree with you
100%. Cardio does not burn fat. Please destroy the myth.
Yes.
Please just delete that from Google. Please Google.
I know, right? I know.
Delete it.
Someone asked me the other day, they're like, yeah, you know, I need to burn this fat off, I'm trying to drop down. And I said, well, dude, running's not going to help you. I was like, if you're just doing steady state cardio, your body's going to adapt to it. You're going to start losing muscle mass at that point. I was like, look, if you want it, what worked for me personally, that really worked for me when I was trying to get down to 7% body fat, because it was a goal at one point when I used to do the bodybuilding a few years ago, and wind sprints, I don't know if it was a mix with my weightlifting, because I was still weightlifting. And I was doing wind sprints. I would do 50 meters on, 50 meters off, 20 times. That explosivity, I mean, it just... And I read a research paper that said it burnt more of the brown fat, the bad fat that we carry in our body. And that, for me, worked wonders. That plus trigger sessions in the, you know, during the day, I'd go and I'd do quick bicep curls, which also helped with my brachialis issues, versus people that are always like, yeah, cardio.
I have a very good brachial stretch.
Really?
Amazing stretch. I'll show you later.
All right. That's awesome. That's good. I mean, I'm over my issues right now. I'm dealing with some bicep tendonitis issue, which kind of sucks. But I mean, that's my biggest knock on CrossFit, actually. We don't do enough small muscle movements. We don't do enough small muscle work. And we could talk about that later. That's a show on its own, definitely. A show on its own. But what are some of the common gym mistakes that you see females making on the floor?
And now they just say cardio, super excessive cardio, either for believing that it's going to make you lose weight or trying to fix the emotion that I overeat, so I'm going to fix it, or how they call it.
Your reward for eating that donut that's 300 calories. Oh,
compensate.
Yeah. I'll eat the donut that's 300 calories and then
I'll
burn
it. And I'm going to compensate.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. I do support the thing like, okay, you had a dinner, so it's good that tomorrow you just balance more your food and you do some sport, but not with the mindset like, oh, you did bad. And that's just destroying yourself. I like to, okay, you did this and be consequent with it and build yourself up from it, but not build yourself down because you did something bad. You choose to do it, then accept you did it. Don't play the victim role. Just go to the victim a protagonista with the protagonist, you know?
Yeah. You could talk Spanish, that's fine. We got like two Spanish listeners that I know of.
So. Hola. Cardio. Definitely excess of cardio, lack of form. I see terrible forms, especially any kind of lats pull downs. They don't take the chest, chest press, form in general.
Yeah. Now I have a question for you because I'm from the old school mentality. I grew up, we didn't have personal trainers when I was growing up. Like personal trainers and having real coaches or trainers on the floor and PTs, that wasn't a part of my generation. It was muscle mags, figure it out on your own, read, research, and that was pretty much it. Whereas now, it seems like everyone I talk to has a personal trainer and it's blown up. Now, it's great. It's good because it reduces injuries, reduces a lot of things, and people get more knowledge out of it. But don't you think there's some merit still as a coach and as a trainer? Do you think there's still merit for people to do it on their own also? Or would you say start with a coach and then taper off onto your own workouts?
The thing, see, even people tell me, why do you have a coach if you can coach yourself? To me, my coach is my eyes when I don't see. And even with my team, with La Muscle Factory, and Nacho Varela, like I want to mention him because he's the one who like finally pushed me to hit the stage. Even I was trying.
Who is it? What's his name?
Nacho Varela.
Can you say that a little slower? Because I didn't get that one bit.
Nacho Varela.
All right. Okay, cool. Yeah, all right. There we go.
Yeah, but like I've been trying to go on the stage and there was always some event. Like I maybe had a trip and I had to go to Portugal or... Because I work in even international event management. So sometimes, last year I took 45 flights. So try to be on stage and keep your diet control and then travel around the world, bring your meals. I know some airports would look at me like, what is this? And they just look at my powders and things. And I'm like, oh my God. You know, even when I left the Arnold in Ohio and I have my protein powder in a bag, they wanted to do the explosive test.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it was going to take too long and I was going to lose my fan. Just keep it. This protein, I have to go.
I know, yeah.
You know, it's traveling with food, it's difficult. And I have my system in my house. So I have an air vacuum. I will do my hamburgers. I will air vacuum it so I know they can last 3 days. I travel with a cooler. And then when I reach the hotel, I put them in the cooler. So I know I have my 80 grams of protein. What can I do?
And wow, the pro bodybuilding life is really difficult.
Like, I got like a master in packing and packing my food and more or less knowing how I'm eating outside and...
That's a very difficult life to lead, to be honest with you. I
mean, you can't start like this, but you can reach. I always tell my clients, you can't just jump into what I'm doing. To me, it's normal.
Yeah.
I didn't start like this. You start just by taking off the things that sabotage your diet.
Yes.
Like refrescos, like any kind of bubble drinks. Even if it's diet, they make your metabolism slower.
Yeah, 100%.
It doesn't exist, the thing like fast or slow metabolism. I mean, it does, but it doesn't. Like, what's a slow metabolism? There is people that I think they have the feeling they just get fat just by breathing. And it's true. Like, this is how they really feel, but they don't understand. They're just sabotaging the diet in so many ways that make their metabolism slower. It's not only how you think about yourself, but every time you take even diet bubble drinks, sodas, they have the sweetness that they use and the corn syrup and all of this makes your metabolism so slow. Yeah, but it's diet. Yes.
Because you're tricking your body, essentially. You're tricking your body to say, oh, it's something sweet.
Hormonally, internally, it destroys your system.
No, and we've talked about that on the show. Our philosophy on the show is instead of take something away, add something to your plate. So add like broccoli.
Yeah.
Add something more of a whole food perspective versus, you know, oh, just take it away. We always say try to add it, but that's just our philosophy on here.
I believe in the theory of swapping because you can't take something out and don't fill the gap.
Yeah.
You know, it's even when you're cleaning a thought or we say un clavo saca otro clavo, like one nail takes another nail out.
I totally didn't get that.
There's at least one that got me. No, but like it's even when I do like conscious sessions, so I can't take a thought and don't fill with anything. If we're cleaning something, I need to give you something else in order to fill up the gap. Even when it comes to energy, when you take, you put. So you fix the hole.
No, 100%. That's a great philosophy to live by. And yeah, it's such a good coaching perspective too. And I'm glad that you said that I have a coach because I need eyes on me. Because a lot of people say, oh, well, if you're certified, if you're a trainer or whatever, why do you still have a coach? Well, it's because we will program what we like to do. I have a coach and he programs the shit I hate to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's the biggest difference right there. And I think it's turned into a trend, but I can see why people are turning more towards the PTs, but I see a lot of people stop themselves from going to the gym because now they think it's too expensive. They're like, oh, I have to get a gym membership. Then I have to get a PT. And it's like the list adds up when I'm like, no, you could start by walking around your block.
Yeah.
Then you could start by doing 10 push-ups. Then you could start by going to the gym and follow the machines. Some of the machines have the little diagrams that are easy to follow. You know, the bodybuilding, I think bodybuilding did best thing ever, which was create machines that solely target specific muscles. But they took out the compound movements, which I think CrossFit brought back into the scene. So
have like a double philosophy when it comes to that. Like that's where marketing comes in. There's so many machines that to me are useless.
Yeah.
But when, as a manufacturer point of view, we need to sell machines. If they're like 2016 basic movements that we want to train, we're not always going to be doing the same angle. But by the end, if it's the best angle and it's the most safe angle, why will it turn it any other way?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No,
but I understand that we need to sell machines and we need to bring new things because this is what society is always asking for. Like, oh, we will launch this new color flavor, but now we have cherry and vanilla. And no.
Yeah.
Because you need to keep the market updated. But then there's too many choices that then it just makes people lost.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
So we call it dying from success. And when it comes to consultancy or marketing things. And on the other side, coming back to the coach thing, who motivates the motivator?
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
that's
I would say true. Like sometimes, yeah, I try to keep my energy levels and I try to keep awake. I try to do you could call it meditation because sometimes I just need to be quiet and remember why I started. So I don't get lost like, oh, I'm not doing this to get followers. I'm not doing this to show off. I'm not doing this to show a six pack. I started doing this because I found it something so fair. The more I give, the more I get. I always wanted to find a work where the more I offer from myself, the more I will get back. And it's not only in fitness, the more I offer, the more I get. When it comes externally, the more I help my clients, the more better I feel with myself to see them improving and fixing things. And it's such a pleasure. It gives pleasure to see someone to just come out of something as a whole just by doing something you have passion for. How sport or fixing something from the diet and talking, listening, can really fix something inside. You can see even the shine on their eyes and the way they approach life, the way they approach problems, they become more tolerant, they have more willingness. So I think sports, and especially and when it comes to, I play all kinds of sports. Like I play volleyball. I was a big volleyball player. I play soccer. I play basketball. I started with basketball. I love sport. I ride horses. I ski. I snow. Like, I don't know. I can keep going.
Yeah.
Any kind of sport that's kind of like new and I think I can be good. It's like a good Gemini. We're good in everything, but we're not like a master in anything. I was like, okay, I have to master something. And then when I joined the gym, like 11 years ago, I remember my mom said like, you're not going to go. You're just going to sign up and you're going to quit because you just can't compromise with something. And I can't. It's just when it comes like volleyball, I played 2-3 years. I reached the point that I wanted. I didn't feel that anymore. Then I swapped to play. I played soccer in the United States for like a small season. It was not my thing. I played basketball. But when I reached the gym, it was halas.
Change your life completely.
I fell in love with the iron. I was lucky to get a bodybuilding coach, huge. And I would just look at him and I would think like, oh, this is like my action man. He's going to teach me. But he teach me from the values, from like the conscious way of training and how to fix my insecurities on the moment as like a 22-year-old woman, which was more about the outside and studying in the school. And he gave, I think through sport, I got values like consistency and being constant in something and being like driven for an objective, setting a goal, how to prepare for that goal, what are the steps. So I just felt it was so beneficial in so many ways. And also I felt better. I look better. It make myself single higher. I can't explain it. It's just such a complete thing. It's not only going to the gym and how you shape your body. It's the fact of compromising to yourself with doing something that's going to improve you in every single way. Even if it's diet, if it's yoga, even if it's Pilates, it gives you internal peace. It's like meditating.
Yeah.
It's that hour or 45 minutes or as long as you want to make it that you take that time for yourself. There's not any other person important in that moment than you and what you're doing in the gym and your set and that paper and that's going to make you closer to your objective and you have someone that's looking for you. So when it comes to me, like I couldn't defeat my coach. He was there for me. He would text me. Even before going on stage, he would be with me before the curtain. And I remember like my first competition, he just kissed my forehead. And he's just like, you got this. And that's what I needed. I was so shy to hit the stage. I post my first video, even though it's terrible walk in, because I started looking on the floor. I was shy to go in a bikini and high heels. And then how you keep changing that, even being on a stage, it just builds you. It builds something in you.
No, it makes a lot of sense. And it must be difficult. I mean, going onto a stage and the nerves, like you said, I mean.
And everybody screams your name. You're like, oh my God, I'm doing it.
And like all your family's there and they're like, and you're probably like, oh, shoot, what am I going to do next? I hope I don't trip or whatever.
But it was just on stage because I've been like a promoter of events, even in the Formula One. I grab the microphone and I speak, how many people is there? You know, like a lot. And I've done product interviews and I used to work for Tin and Out as a press manager and key account. So I would travel to the main expos on hi-fi, domotics, custom install. I always been very tight and related with the press. So it's normal. Like, I love it. But when it comes to just me and I'm the focus of attention and I'm on stage alone and it's my moment and I have to walk, I'm not dancing. I'm very shy when it comes to dancing. So I will be able to do it if I train, but it's one of my next objectives. But like, to me, that was kind of like dancing.
Yeah,
so I had to walk in a certain way and pose and pull my hair and show. I was showing myself.
How's the posing? I mean, did you have to practice the poses beforehand?
Yes, yes.
How difficult was that? Like, how do bodybuilders come up? Like, do you guys come up with these poses? Or are they, is there a pre-scripted thing?
We have
thing?
A rule, yeah. As, okay. As a judge, and it's public though, you have the rules of how the athlete should look. So for each category, to know in which category you're divided. And then there is what we call the quarter turns. There's specific poses that you need to hit.
Okay, so they'll give
the
you
the transitions
like,
are free.
Oh, okay. So they give you like a rubric or whatever.
Yeah,
they'll say you have to do this pose, then this pose.
The IFBB has everything. I can't talk about the federations. I'm sure they do. But when it comes to my federation, it's all written down and specified.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then when you have a team like me, I will meet with my team and we will all pose and like judge ourselves. And
how many weeks of posing do you do or practice poses? Is it like a week thing? Is it a 2 week thing?
It should be honestly.
Do you constantly do it after every workout?
Every day, 15 minutes minimum. And
oh,
And it's difficult. You say, oh, 15 minutes. No, you sweat. But you have to hold the pose and you're drying out. And before competition, I think it's something that must be done always, so you never forget it.
No, that makes sense. I've said this to people before, like bodybuilders, one of the reasons why they have such a strong mind-muscle connection is because of the posing. Like when you're sitting there and you're flexing your bicep for 20 minutes in front of the mirror, and then you know you go to work that bicep out, you know how to make that connection or with your calves or with your quads or whatever. You know how to formulate those connections, those neural pathways sort of fire a little bit faster. Is that true or is that kind of like an unwritten rule or a myth?
It's true. It's true. You need to know how to tie everything. Even how do you tie your hamstrings when you're on 12 centimeters high heels? You have no water in your body. You're on stage waiting maybe like I reached the plates maybe like 7 in the morning and my category is the last one to compete. So I might be competing at 6 or 5 p.m. So imagine you have like a little bit of water, a little bit of load, because I don't like to load with sweets. I like to load with something that's going to make me more dry, like rice crackers and Eagles. I don't know how to say that. But like I don't like to go to the sweets and because I like to keep my stomach very dry, as you can see in the pictures, and anything that I can make over excess, it would really like bloat it.
Wow. So, all right, let's dive into the programming a little bit. I mean, what are some of the ideal programs that you would program for a female that would say, hey, you know what? I want to look exactly like you. I want to become a female bodybuilder. Where do we start? So what would the programming look like? And we could go like, say, a 6 month block overview perspective. That was one of the questions I threw to you. And that was one of the ones I was really interested in. So what would that look like?
To me, in the moment, I like to work in 12-week blocks.
Okay.
Because then I can start slow and have a peak in the middle of the preparation. And we work with Google Sheets online. So I can really track what my client is doing on the weights and see if it's too much. I can modify him the next week or her. So the thing is, you have to have control of how they do. And we talk, besides keeping control and open chat, how you're feeling. And I like them to write the mood and how they sleep. I make them rate the sleeping level, because to me, that's important. If they're facing, because let's be honest, even for professional athletes, you can't be always on the top.
Yeah.
We all have issues and stress, and maybe you have an argument. And then if I'm facing stress, I'm not going to go to the gym and kill my workout.
100%. Yeah,
even if I want to, so I can't keep my rear or the reps in, you know, in reserve or my intensity levels to 8. Because this is my week when I'm demanding 87% of on the intensity. I can't. But you have to be honest with yourself. Okay, I couldn't do that, but I can reach this point. Because what's the point for me for lifting 100 kilos in squats if I'm just going to injure myself?
No, it's true. And that's one thing I think I've learned over the last 5 months. No, besides injuring myself, it's one thing I've learned over the last year in CrossFit. And my coach has done a good job by planting the seed in my head of not every day is a PR day. Whereas before, my mentality, and this is, I mean, this goes back. I was born in the generation of you hurt yourself, get back on the field.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're, you know, if you're not crying and you can move, you should be playing the sport or you should continue playing. So it was always like every day I should fail. Every day should be a PR for me. Where now I've learned from my coach and from, you know, CrossFit, which is a sport that I think has opened up a lot of eyes to different training modalities. Mm. Not every day is a PR day, especially at my age. I'm 36, so, and everyone needs to understand that we all have different issues. So how do you deal with that with your clients? I mean, what are some of the tricks when you get someone like me, for instance, it's like, no, I want a PR today. Every day is a PR day. I need to add weight to the bar every single time.
You can add weight, like half a kilo makes a difference. 1 kilo makes a difference. So I always tell them, like, don't go, you don't have to, like grow even in your bench press, 5 kilos. Just start with slow, small change, like 1 kilo, half a gram is going to make a difference.
Yeah, it's true. 100%.
It's maybe you can't, you're going to tell me, oh, but Patricia, I can't live. I can't go high. You can go half a kilo higher. Are you sure? Like if you put like half a kilo dumbbell on top of the tricep rope, you're not going to be able to lift it. Yeah, I can't. Then that's improving.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's
just
true.
Just a small step.
What about your female clients? Because you said you earn their trust afterwards.
Yeah.
Now, with a female, if you're saying, I want to put half kilos on, say, if they're doing a skull crusher or if they're doing tricep extensions or something. Now, how do you convince them to add that resistance?
I do it with them.
Or how do you gain their trust?
If I'm with them, then I will show them how to feel what's the intensity that's good for them. Because I believe in experience. I can't explain you, but you need to know how it feels.
Yeah.
So I make them know what's too much and when they lose the form of executing the exercise or the performance and what's too less and too easy. Once they learn that, then because sometimes if they don't sweat enough, they think they didn't work out. If you're not sweating, it might be mostly because you're dehydrated. Because you should be sweating.
Yeah.
A client asked me like, because she always yawns. And she's like, don't think I'm bored. And I'm like, no, you're yawning because you're dehydrated. So, or you're not sweating. So your brain needs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I forgot what's the name, but it just needs to refresh. So by yawning, it opens and it brings more blood. So because you're too
hot. You're circulating oxygen.
You should be actually sweating.
Yeah.
And you're not sweating. No. So, or there is an excess, a lack of oxygen in the diaphragm. I give her like a lot of attention. Oh, I always ask this question and no one answers to that. I have a lot of curiosity of knowing for things. So I was like you. When I don't know anything, I ask. And I ask multiple people. And if the answer doesn't convince me, then I do my own research. And that's your way. Like even if I say something that doesn't match you, please research about it. It's not because I'm saying it. I did my research and this is my conclusion, but it doesn't mean I have the start of the thing. This is what worked for me and the years proof that it's the way.
Yeah, I know that.
But you have to find, some people will work better with intense workouts and some of them, and a lot of pressure. And some people work good in less pressure environments or workouts and more spare on a time. Like I base my diets in the blood type, like Dr. Peter Alamo in the books. I try it myself. The foods that say it's not compatible for my blood, they're actually not as compatible for me.
You excluded it, yeah.
I feel a little sick when I eat meat, but I like to eat red meat sometimes, but I have a very slow digestion from it.
Yeah.
And it's written A+. It's not, we're not carnivores, we're more vegan. I was vegan for a while and I try as well. I try many things.
Sorry, I hate vegans. Just to put it out there, my biggest form in life is vegans because they're like, no, this is how we should naturally. No.
Yeah.
We naturally grew up, or, you know, mankind, when they were born, it was like we eat whatever we could find to eat.
Yeah.
You know, we forage for food. So
that's
why, but that's just me. Vegans hate me, so it's cool.
It's a big thing. I think it's about mixing everything. It's yeah. about, but life, it's about balance.
It's balance. I agree with you 100%. It's balance. I agree with you 100%.
But I do respect animal pain. Let's just be honest to that. I think there is other ways of doing things that are less harmful.
Yeah.
And excess of consumption just forces things 100%. To be done in a way that are not good. And we have a lot of waste of food that is completely unnecessary.
I agree. No, I agree with that. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. That's totally true. Now, let's move back to the gym scene a little bit. What are some of the exercises that are overdone, overused, and overabused where you just see it in the gym and you're like, oh, please. You know, like, I just want to go over and tell that trainer, stop doing that with your client. Or, you know, for me personally, and you might disagree with this, I get, you know, 50% of the people that come in on the podcast disagree with me on the BOSU ball. I think it's a complete and utter waste of time unless you're a pro athlete working on, you know, stabilization of the ankles, stabilization of the knees. You're a pro athlete and that's like you've worked to that standard versus you get the trainer that has their client standing on a BOSU ball catching a ball. It's like, no, dude, you could do
it's not my style.
Yeah.
No, I don't play and I don't like fantasy exercises. So
those are my things. What are your things? What's like, you're just like, dude, stop, you know, like.
The thing from Kim Jusia, which is one of the people in Spain, like the man that wrote like the main bodybuilding books, and I used to promote him doing events. One of the things that I like the most that he will say is there's too many fantasy exercises, he calls it. Just let you, what's the thing? What would you do? Anyways, I don't want to go into the hip thrust because we always get in a big argument with it. But like, if
go into it. Go into it. Because I might agree with you or disagree with you on this.
It's just like if you can target a muscle, especially with a machine or a movement that recruits more motor neurons for that muscle, why would you do something that just goes halfway? But I understood now. I accept his story. Like, let's say I want to grow more of my glutes. So I like a lot to do glute kicks.
Yeah.
Because it's functional. It just makes more sense to me. Glute kick, why will I do a bodybuilder or a hip thrust when I'm using a lot of my hamstrings? And usually when I'm pushing, I don't feel my glutes that much. I can go 100 kilos and I'm locating my glutes. I feel them, but there is other like more target exercise for the glutes. But yeah, he gave me the reason, like, you need stronger quads to run faster. So
you picking your argument very carefully right now. I can see you're picking your argument so carefully right now.
Yeah, so I don't want to mess up. This is going to be recorded. But get the point. I don't really want to go deeper.
I agree with you. I think hip thrusts, for me personally, I think hip thrusts are overdone.
No, this is not. Okay, the overdone for me are the abs. Right. But they're not useless.
Sorry.
I just think they're overdone.
Hip thrusts, in my opinion, like, I think there's a place for them.
Mm.
But there are other exercises that people need to do before going to the hip thrust and throwing on, doing 400 pounds. And my wife does this. She'll kill me. She's, yeah.
And you need to know how to contract the glute.
Yeah, like if you're not deadlifting 400 pounds, why are you hip thrusting 400 pounds? That's my opinion. Like, deadlift 400 pounds and hip thrust 400 pounds. And, you know, but that's me. Again, I don't hip thrust. And when my coach puts it into my programming, I'm the guy with like two greens on either side, like 95 pounds. It's pathetic. But you give me a deadlift or you give me other exercises that incorporate the same muscles, I can pile on the weights. It's just an exercise that I don't value. And I only do because my coach tells me to do it. Otherwise, you know, I think there's other exercises and he'll probably hear this and, you know, put in more hip thrust for me.
But I've seen bodybuilders on stage with really stretched glutes and they don't do glute kicks. Mm-hmm. So by the end, it made me realize like squats.
Yeah.
What do they do a lot? Squats. So squats with your glutes.
Yes.
This kind of, and why? Because I see it. I don't see the men doing glute kicks on the floor, doing anything. And I see their glute.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Of course you can't, it has to be divided into the workout. I like to touch the glutes between 3 to 6 times. I love it. I like to just throw a glute exercise to keep the blood.
Okay.
It's just like Brazilian style.
hey, it works. And you know, I'm sorry I cut you off, but you said abs.
Yeah.
That's another.
To me, the overdone one is the front deltoids, like front raises.
Okay, yeah.
It's super overdone and useless.
That's like the number one Kuwaiti exercise.
Okay, but...
That's the number one Kuwaiti exercise. Even he agrees. You walk into a men's gym and they're just sitting there.
No, I wish they did it like this. It's going like...
Yeah, I know. Okay. I know. And it's not even like, not even focusing on the shoulders or the delts. It's more or less the whole body trying to get the
trying to move a lot of weight. So it looks, and by the end, the delt is such a small muscle. But anyway, I think it's a really overdone and useless because you're already working... your front raises when we're doing any kind of like push exercise.
Yeah.
So what's the point of if I'm doing pushes, why will I also do raises?
Just do an overhead press.
But the thing is, it overworks the muscle and it creates too much tension that by the end, what you need to do is to expand your back. We're all working like inside because we keep it too tight. It's so overdone. So that's my overdone and useless one. I like to do half worlds when I'm doing class, but I will not put it on a workout unless it's a person that cannot do any over 90 degree elevation because has some kind of issue with the neck and it puts them like too much pressure. Any kind of elevation like, over 90 degrees of the shoulder is going to put too much pressure on the neck. And if they have like disc or something, I avoid them. Therefore, I try to put them sitting down and I make them lift, not going over just for the shoulder. There, I will use it. But when it comes to a person that's healthy, no.
That makes sense. And now you brought up a really good
point. The abs are overdone, not useless.
Worst ab exercise that you continuously see people doing. Oof. And it's like, for me personally, it's crunches. Because it's like, dude, all you're doing sometimes, if you're not doing a crunch properly, all you're doing is tightening your hip flexors and you're just overworking them more and more.
If you do them properly, yes. To me, the worst ab exercise may be the ones that your back's not on support.
Okay.
Especially because there is a lot of hyperlordosis and not proper back forms. We all have some kind of twisted. So whenever I see them, even I made a video because I know this is what, and it's more visual and it sells, but you can't do that every day. It's good to talk, but they will lift up and start twisting and it's not necessary. Yeah. And I'm going to target my lower abs or my upper abs. The abs is a whole muscle. You can't decide which squares you want to work.
Yeah.
But still, I don't want to go that deep, but the abs are overdone, not useless. I like to work more the core from inside to the outside.
Makes sense,
by the end, the six pack's going to come from the diet. So everybody's like, oh, I want the six pack. Start eating better, cleaning the fat from the top, and you will get them. It's a matter of time.
We all have those muscles.
We all have them. I don't like to highlight this, but I tell them, like, if you see in the news, like any other poor countries, unfortunately, they don't have enough food. You see, they have a six pack. I doubt that just thinking of having a six pack and doing ups, they have other things to do, you know, and you can see that six pack. So please, it's not the best example, but this shows you it's the diet.
Yeah, that makes
sense. It's not how many ups you do.
No, it's very true. Now, you brought up a really good point, too, about people that suffer from injuries and, you know, especially when it comes to discs. I mean, everyone in Kuwait has a disc problem, apparently. And I see your smile, so I'm sure you've heard it in your gym, too. And yes, we all have discs, everybody. They're all there. You know, you're not human if you don't
healthy.
Have one.
No disc.
And now, what are some of the exercises that you would program, in your opinion, that women should program in more of so that they can avoid back issues? You know, like if you have lower back issues, for me personally, when my lower back flares up because I drive and sit a lot, when my lower back flares up, all I do...
Do you drive like that?
I've tried every which way.
Because that's one of the most main things we should not do when we have lower back.
I've tried driving straight up, backwards, just because I drive about 3-4 hours a day to my work. And I sit down for another 8 hours. So I'm literally sitting almost 12 hours a day. And it's just your abs shut down. I just do planks, side planks, and whatever. It works for me fine. For some reason, it just works perfectly. I do that for 3 days. My lower back pain's gone. But that's personal. Like, that's me. It took me years to find out what worked. So for females, though, for you...
For everyone, we have all the same muscles. So female and males.
Yeah. What would you recommend to work through some...
Okay. Lower back pain is mostly caused because weak abs and weak glutes. So I would definitely recommend females in this case, but for everyone, to work your core. So like weird dogs, dead bugs. Mostly those are the ones that I like the most. And then... For the glutes, any knee glute lifting, because if you're doing the glute kicks with the machine, you're going to use your lower back. So I will use it with the band. Banded glute side elevations, hip thrust. I will be the two of my favorites. when it comes to how to fix pain, I would never recommend an exercise. I would recommend stretching. Because if you're suffering from pain from a muscle, it means it's overdone. So if the function of the muscle is just one, which is contraction, there's not any other exercise that I can do that's going to fix it, because it's just going to contract the muscle more. So therefore, what you need to do is stretch. So the solution to most of the issues that we face in the gym is stretching.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so simple. Nobody likes to do it, but I don't mean stretching. Like, this is not stretching. Stretching is the session when you just go on the floor and you're doing a passive stretch, because if you're contracting a muscle, you're not contracting. Yeah. You know, so I have a different philosophy when it comes to stretching. I like ITTC and I choose them as a school because they mix yoga and Pilates and they do a lot of mindfulness. So it's a very like conscious school.
ITTC?
Yeah. In English, will be integration of the techniques, integración de técnicas, integration of techniques to train the body.
Okay. All right.
Mostly, yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
I mentioned it on social media, and you can find it. I don't want to do like a lot of publicity.
No, you're fine. No, it's totally cool. Whatever's going to benefit listeners and coaches, because we have just, coaches that listen
I
to
ask
this
them
show
and
too.
So. I'm filming with them over 40 videos of stretches, because I asked Rafael Santos, an international IVB judge and also the promoter with Lorena Exposito of the ITTC method in Spain. And I asked him, please just film it. Because it's so necessary. There's so many people that need to listen to your way of how you see everything. And I admire him so much as a person with like 38 different careers and certificates, from study of the iris, the study of, he's just like the alternative medicine, and combine it with everything that we have right now, it just makes like the perfect. It just makes sense. It's fixed to me. Like even I twist my ankle just by stretching, because by lifting, imagine like if I have hyperlordosis in my back and I have pies concavos. I don't know how to say it, but like concave feet. And
we have Elia. She listens to the show. She speaks Spanish. So
let's say that my posture, like everyone can be corrected. But if you go to a specialist like him, and especially when you're going to the professional side, and he makes a study of your body, and he tells, okay, we need to fix this knee so this gets alienated, so this, and then this will get rid of this pain. So medicine goes to the point, they go to the source of the point, alternative medicine. So I believe a lot in alternative medicine. Okay, I use the medicine to fix my pain. Okay, give me a pill or something, fix it. But I have to work, what is this pain originated? Like, this is, some people will be like, oh, you just twist your ankle because you were walking on high heels and you just tap. Okay, but like, why did I step, or why am I not stepping properly? And why was my ankle not strong enough? Or like, I find for things. But even working with trainers now, sometimes I flex my foot. So I have too much flexibility maybe on my ankles. And I'm squatting. I went up to like 110, 120 kilos. And my posture is not straight, and I'm putting 120 kilos on my spine. So this just made me like think a lot, like, okay, I love powerlifting as well, but let's try to make it smart.
I
make my golden weight. I prove I'm strong. I feel strong. And then halas, now I have to go back
to
my healthy.
You must hate CrossFitters then, because we have the shittiest form in the gym.
The thing is, they're the ones that get more injured, and the number one clients of all physiotherapists and osteopathists. Yeah. And because it's a very high impact sport. Non-control. I like to control all the movement, keep the tension, and feel specifically that muscle and what I'm working. It's just a different style. I don't hate everybody, you know, whatever you love, just do it, but do it with conscience.
Yeah, that makes
sense.
If
you want to jump from a plane, just jump it, but be conscious of everything. Like even me as going on bodybuilding stage, I know it's a lot of pressure for my body, but I like it. This is why I do it.
It's your jam. I mean, that's your sport. You know? Yeah. That's how you play. Yeah. I think it's amazing to finally meet a bodybuilding coach or a bodybuilder that knows what a bird dog is and dead bugs.
I have a lot of fun every time I explain in the gym, because if you never done sports, to find the coordination of the movements, something that to you might seem so simple.
Yeah.
And then, honestly, this is a country I work with that is less knowledge of sports.
That's true. And, 100%. And, yeah, no, you're right.
And yeah.
We've talked about that, that just it's not it.
I would love
impressive.
To encourage all mommies and daddies in the country to please put your kids into sport. Because it's just going to help them to know how to do more teamwork. It's just going to give them so many values and capabilities of how to deal with problems, even inside of a team. And doing sports since a young age is just going to make their joints and their muscles and everything just be more prepared to avoid any further issue when they get older. And it's just healthy. It's healthy.
Yeah, no, you're 100%. I'd love to have you back on the show and, you know, kind of dive deep into like specific topics, because you're just a wealth of knowledge. And I really appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you
for inviting me.
No, it was awesome having you on here. Like, just a wealth of knowledge, dropping some serious knowledge bombs. And thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. You can also find us on Instagram @ The Project Kuwait. Thank you, and join us next time.